In today's episode, I am pulling back the curtain on my three major career pivots over the past 12 years, from healthcare data entry to school counselor to professor to full-time business owner, and how my salary went from $35,000 to $150,000 along the way. I'm sharing 10 lessons I learned, including why you don't need all the skills before you pivot and how strategy beats qualification every time. If you have been thinking about making a career change but fear is holding you back, this episode is for you. Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for professional women ready to leave miserable jobs, stop being overlooked, and land higher paying roles they're excited about without compromising who they are. I'm Dr. Tega Edwin, a career counselor and coach who went from feeling unfulfilled and stuck at work to thriving in a career I've loved for over 10 years. Along the way, the professional awards, $3 million federal grant, and textbook I wrote are some evidence of the impact I've been able to have, all while building a coaching business to help women like you find fulfillment and have impact in their careers. Inside my programs, Find Your Fulfilling Career and Next Level Career, I guide women to clarify their path, land dream jobs, and negotiate salary increases with faith and confidence. Whether you're ready to leave a soul-sucking job or advance into your next level role, you're in the right place. Together, we'll uncover what's holding you back and help you step confidently into the career and life God has for you. Let's dive in. Before we get started, if you are in a job that's draining you and you want to pivot into something that actually excites you while increasing your salary, I am opening enrollment for Find Your Fulfilling Career, my 12-month career clarity and job search coaching program. And this round, I'm including three brand new bonuses, including a one-on-one pivot call with me. I'll share all the details at the end, but I wanted to give you a heads up. So for now, let's get into today's episode. Hello, hello, wonderful listener. Happy New Year. Welcome back to the Fulfilling Career Podcast. I am so excited to be here. It is 2026 here. I am back from my winter break and oh my gosh, I'm just so excited. Like I have my notes, but I can't even start recording this session because I haven't been in front of the podcast microphone in I think 2 months. I believe the last episode dropped in November and then I went on break. So welcome back. I'm so happy that you are here. I have big life changes happening right now. If you follow me on Instagram, you might have already seen I shared on my Instagram stories, but I have big life changes happening. And I'm saying that because those life changes directly apply to this episode and what we're talking about, which you've already seen from the title of the episode. I'm talking about my own career journey and my career pivot. So let me just jump right in, share the big changes, which are the two big ones. I moved from St. Louis to Miami. I am currently living in Miami with my sister. If you're in Miami, if you have good food spots, good fun spots, slide in my DMs on Instagram. Let's connect. Let's hook up. Tell me where to go get the good food. I love good food. So that was the first one, is that I moved to Miami. And a big part of moving to Miami is that, drum roll please, I quit my full-time job. Yeah. That happened. I quit my full-time job. I am no longer a professor. I have been a professor for 7 years. That is the longest I have been in a job in my adult lifetime. You may or may not have heard me say this, but one of my career philosophies is that every 2 years, something needs to change in your career for it to remain fulfilling. And I stood by that in my own career. And it just so happened that for most of the time, my change usually was a new job or getting a degree. And being a professor, I stayed longer because one, if you haven't listened to an episode I shared, I believe it was in 2024, Lessons from Getting Tenured, you should listen to that. When I got tenured as a professor, one of the reasons I stayed so long at this job is because only 2% of tenured professors in the United States are Black women. And so when I became a professor, I was determined to add to that number. I wanted to be a tenured professor as a Black woman. And that whole process to get tenure takes about 5.5 years, which was why I stayed. But things did still change in my career, right? Meaning I took on new roles, new responsibilities. So things were still changing every 2 or so years, which allowed me to remain happy and fulfilled in my job. So I was living up to my philosophy is really what I'm trying to say there. But I quit my job, no longer a professor. I am now going to be a career coach and business owner full time. So I am currently pivoting. And I don't know if you have seen any of the conversations or dialogue that's been happening online, but I have. And on my Instagram, I'm seeing multiple people talking about pivoting, career changes, and some are even calling it the great millennial career crisis, which I'm definitely about to start contributing to that conversation. Because I mean, if you've been around here for any length of time, you know that this is my jam. You know that I love to talk about career changes, career pivots, finding fulfilling work. And so when I saw these creators' videos blowing up about making a career pivot, I was like, yes, yes, let's go. Let's talk about pivoting, because again, that is my jam. So all that to say, I saw this conversation is happening and I am currently actively pivoting, right? Like I was working part-time as a professor up until December. So January is my first full-time business life is happening. So I'm going to be talking about pivoting over the next few weeks because, like I said, the conversations are happening. And I do think, let me even pause and say, okay, great millennial career crisis. What is actually happening? I don't think it's a crisis in the sense that something is wrong with you. I think it's a crisis in the sense that a lot of us are hitting a point at the same time. And so because of that, so many people are experiencing this, how do I say, like just feeling unsettled and unhappy in your career, which is perfectly normal. Again, if you have been here for any length of time, you might have heard me talk about the fact that for your job to be fulfilling, it needs to match who you are in every season of life. And unfortunately, I do believe that as millennials, we did get a lot of propaganda that the way to get a career is to go to school, get a degree, stay in one job for 20 or more years until you retire or die, which is far from accurate because for work to be fulfilling, it has to match who you are. And who you are changes regularly, which means the kind of work you will enjoy also changes regularly. And so when I see these conversations happening, I'm more just excited that people are starting to realize that you don't have to settle in your career. You can make a change. One thing that I want to do with my content is just really even give you permission. Not like you need my permission, but I don't think enough people, enough experts are saying making a change is okay. Making a pivot is normal. And as somebody who has made 3 career pivots over the past 12 years, I'm like, I got a lot to say. So let's go. Let's go. I'm actually even going to do a free live training in about a month, actually, where I'm going to be just talking about pivots. I'm going to break down the mindset traps that get in the way of pivoting. I'm going to talk about the different types of pivots that you can make based on what I've done. I'm going to share strategies to make a successful pivot. So if you are listening to this and you want to get in on that, just go to hercareerdoctor.com/pivot. Again, that link is hercareerdoctor.com/pivot to register for that training. And when I do that training, I'm actually going to open doors to my group coaching program, Find Your Fulfilling Career, which is all about helping women pivot. So I'm really, really excited about this conversation. So I decided that to kick off, before I even start sharing strategies and, you know, the nitty gritty, what works, what doesn't work, I wanted to start by even sharing lessons from my own story and my own career pivot. As I mentioned, I have made 3 major career pivots over the past 12 years. And I need to count. I always say that, but I need to count and I'm going to do it right now. But I think it's 3 major and 5 minor ones. And here's why. So I started my career doing healthcare data entry. I was in a data entry job. That was my miserable job where I was in a small cubicle office where I was unhappy and I didn't like my job. And I looked around me and it just felt like everybody else was fulfilled and thriving, and I thought something was wrong with me. Come to find out, I was just in the wrong job. But that was when I took the step back to figure out, okay, what do I want to do with my life? And when I had the insight, the revelation that, well, for me to thrive at work and enjoy my work, it has to match who I am. And then I pivoted from doing data entry to being a counselor. I went back, I got my master's degree, I became a counselor. So that was pivot number one, right? Data entry to counseling. And then as a counselor, these are where the minor pivots happened. I started my journey as a school counselor. Then after about a year and a half, I became a mental health counselor. And then I became a career counselor. And I worked as a career counselor for 2 years. So those are the minor changes that happened. And I think of those as pivots because they were very, very different, right? So as a school counselor, I was working in an elementary school with K-5 students, very different work from mental health counseling. I was working on a college campus with college adults doing actual mental health work. And then I pivoted to career counseling, which is a different style of counseling, in my opinion, because it's a mix of counseling and coaching. There's like an overlap with it there. And I was working then with adults, when I just think of literally from like 20 to 50 year olds and more. So those to me count as pivots because the work was different, even though I was still a counselor. So those are the minor pivots I was talking about. And then I'm currently right now in my third major pivot, which is, data entry to counselor was number one. The second one was, I didn't tell the story. So then I went from counselor to professor. That was pivot number two. And that pivot happened more because I wanted to have more impact. So I enjoyed the work I was in as a counselor, but I just felt like I wanted to make more of a difference. And back then it was, I made that decision when I was a school counselor because I was working in a school district and I had a supervisor who had never been a school counselor before in his life. And I remember just feeling so frustrated that the person who was meant to support me didn't really know what my job was. And I had to, me and a couple of other school counselors, we put together sort of like our own support group and found our own mentor and this lovely woman who helped us just integrate into the role because most of us were new to the job. And so that experience just really frustrated me because I was like, why am I being supervised by somebody who doesn't know what I do? Like, what's that about? I was not happy about that. And so that was when I decided, you know what? I want to help so many more counselors. I want to be able to impact counselors and help put out more competent counselors. And so I decided to go get my PhD to become a professor. And it was during that time that I worked as a mental health and a career counselor. So that was pivot number two, counselor to professor. And now I am in the midst of pivot number three, which is I have now left the professor life and I'm going to be a career coach and business owner full time. And across, if you think about across all those changes, my salary increased with every change I made, where over time I've gone from, I believe I started at $35,000 as a school counselor and ended at about $150,000 in my take-home pay over the past 12 years. So that's why I put my six-figure career pivots on here, because when I think about all the clients I've worked with over the past 7 years, one of the most common, I would say, fears that I hear from clients is the fear of losing income, of going backwards in salary. And we call it golden handcuffs, where you're making really good money, but you don't like your job. And so you stay because of the money, because you're afraid that if you make a change, you will take less money. And so you have these golden handcuffs around you where, yes, they look shiny and pretty, but they're still handcuffs. They're still keeping you stuck. They're still keeping you miserable and unhappy. So you stay stuck in that job you hate. And so I share, I labeled this six-figure career pivots to really just show you that you can make changes while increasing your salary. That's just my story. If you go to findyourfulfillingcareer.com, you will see tons of my client stories who have significantly increased their salaries after working with me to make a career change. And so again, I'm sharing that because it doesn't have to, you don't have to take a pay cut to make a career pivot. That's really, I just want to set that ground rule from the jump as we get into this episode. Now, I will say that, yes, okay, for me, it took 12 years to go from 30K to 150K, but it definitely does not have to take you that long. And it doesn't take my clients that long. One of my clients made a jump from 65K to 200K in one move. And that's the benefit of working with a coach. I know the shortcuts at this point, right? Like, I've gone through the process. I've worked in the field and done it for myself. So it's, I'm not saying it's going to take you 12 years to get your six-figure salary increase. I'm just saying, like, that was my journey. And now I want to share with you, as I think back to all those changes that I've made, I wanted to just sit and think through, what are some lessons that I've learned? If I reflect, and it's so interesting because in preparing for this episode, I even just noticed some patterns in my career and for myself, and I got some insights that are going to shape that free training that I mentioned and just the conversations we're going to be having over the next month or so. So with that being said, let us jump right in and get started. I wrote down 10 lessons. Now, if you're a listener, you know that your girl sometimes just, you know, might have tangents, okay? I have 10 on paper. If it happens to be more than 10, you're welcome. Congratulations to you. You're getting great lessons. But let's jump right in. First lesson that I have is that staying loyal to old dreams will kill your future and keep you stuck. Let me say that again. Staying loyal to old dreams will kill your future and keep you stuck. When I think of myself, when I started like just my entire, just like as a teenager, my career life, I always wanted to be a medical doctor. I told everybody from the jump that I wanted to be a pediatrician. When I went to school, I majored in biology for graduates for my undergrad degree, which in retrospect, I see now was a terrible choice because I did not get a single A in any of my science classes. Biology, chemistry, physics, hated chemistry with the passion of 10,000 suns. Never make me do that again. And I remember that I minored in psychology as a junior and I fell in love with it. I fell in love with psychology, and even though I loved it and I decided to, I took a psychology class, I fell in love with it, I decided to minor in psychology, I still held onto, I'm going to be a medical doctor, when I took the MCAT and I failed. I failed the MCAT and I just started thinking about like my life. I didn't want to be a doctor, but I still wanted to stay on that track. So I did healthcare data entry, hated that job too. And in looking back, I realized that I spent all those years staying loyal to a dream that 12-year-old me came up with. Like when I was 12 was the first time I said I wanted to be a doctor. And I did not change my mind. I just stayed on that path. I was gung-ho going to be a doctor. And it didn't make sense to me. Like looking back, it's like I was staying loyal to what a 12-year-old version of me wanted to do. Like make it make sense. And it wasn't until I failed the MCAT, I was unhappy and miserable in that data entry job, that I had to pause and ask, okay, girl, what's happening here? What do you really want to do with your life? And it was that pause that helped me figure out what I really wanted to do and find counseling as a pathway. Now, imagine if I hadn't bet on myself. Imagine if I hadn't taken that risk and made my pivot, I would have been so miserable. I can't even imagine what life would have been like. And I'm saying bet on myself because counseling was not a traditional pathway for me. So growing up in Nigeria, the idea of good jobs, and I'm saying good in air quotes, growing up, I heard messages like good jobs were lawyer, doctor, engineer, accountant, nurse. That was it. That's probably why I wanted to be in the medical field. And that message didn't come from my parents. I had really supportive parents. It was just like a societally accepted norm that I integrated into and decided to be a doctor. And everybody celebrated my choice to be a doctor. And so I just stayed with it. And I remember when I decided to be a counselor. So let me tell the story. So when I wanted to be a doctor, I had always also decided that I would go to Johns Hopkins because great school. So when I decided I was going to switch to counseling, and I realized that to be a counselor in the U.S., you have to have a master's degree. And I say the U.S. because it's not that way everywhere. So I knew I would have to go get my master's. So I started looking for programs that had a school counseling program specifically. And I found out that Johns Hopkins had one. And so I was like, yes, I could still go to Hopkins. And I remember telling my parents about this decision because they supported me through school financially. And I remember my dad being like, if you're not going to be a doctor, why am I still paying for an expensive school? Now, mind you, he did still pay, but I've never forgotten that. Like, he's like, girl, if you ain't going to be a doctor, we're not going to spend all this money. And I think that just goes to show, again, he was joking. He paid for my tuition through my master's degree. They supported me. I had great parents. But I think it just goes to show the kind of environment that I grew up in terms of just what was societally accepted as the norm. So me choosing to become a counselor was a risk. Like now, today, in the year 2026, counseling is just like therapy as a concept is just beginning to be accepted in Nigerian culture as something that people do. Like, so when I was doing this, it was not like, no, like what? You're going to be a, like, I would tell people I'm a counselor and they'd be like, oh, so can you read my mind? Like, that's what they thought counselors did. I'm like, no. And even me in picking that, if not from my research, I'd never heard of that. Like, I didn't grow up having a school counselor in school. It just was not something that I grew up being told I could do. So making that pivot was a risk. And so I had to break loyalty to my childhood dream to get on a path of fulfillment. And I think I'm starting with this lesson because it is so key and crucial. Some of you listening, if you are like my client, you have been on your dream, air quotes, path for even longer than me. You've been doing a job that you said you always wanted for years and years and years. So right now, the idea of leaving that job, that path, feels scary. It feels like you are being disloyal to your company, to yourself. It feels like you're being a quitter. It feels like you're giving up. And those fears will keep you from making a pivot and a move that will propel you into unthinkable fulfillment in your career. And so I think it's important to just ask yourself, whose dream are you staying loyal to? An old version of you or a current version of you? Because if it's an old version of you, then you're doing current and future you a massive disservice. Second lesson is that belief in your ability to figure it out needs to be bigger than actually having the skills to do the thing. You need to believe in your ability to figure it out more than having the skills to do the thing you're pivoting into. And I'm saying that because a common fear that I often hear is, but I don't have the skills. I only have the skills to do one thing. I can't do anything else. I've only done one thing in my career. I can't do something else. But when I think about all my pivots, I was always propelled into doing something I had never done before, something I did not have the skills for. But through each one of those moves, something that I always knew, but I didn't actually articulate this until I became a professor and was mentoring students, was that I believe in my ability to problem solve. I may not have the skills right now, but I know I can develop the skills. I know I can learn. I know I can figure it out. That was just always an unshakable belief. I remember when I first became a school counselor, I was in a school where counseling was part of the specials schedule. So meaning, you know, art, music, PE were on the schedule, so was counseling, meaning I was teaching multiple classes daily. I was not trained to be a teacher. As a matter of fact, I chose being a school counselor because I did not want to be a teacher, which is mad ironic considering the fact that I became a professor. But I didn't want to become a teacher because my mom was a teacher before she became a business owner. Oh my goodness. Hold on. I'm having a moment. I'm having a moment. Oh my goodness. I'm having a moment. Oh my gosh. Okay. And I'm going to leave this and I'm not going to cut this out, but this is so on the side. Just hold on here. So you may or may not know, but my mom passed away in 2020. I'm recording this on January 9th. My mom's birthday was yesterday, January 8th. I'm having a moment. My mom was a teacher and then she became a business owner. That, like, she left teaching to, she ran multiple businesses, became really successful, retired my dad to work in the business. So the moment I'm having right now is that I was a professor, which is being a teacher, and now I'm about to be a business owner. Yeah. I don't want to cry because I want to finish recording this episode, but I'm having a moment and I'm just shaking it out. I'm shaking it out. Okay, so here's what I was saying. What was I saying? I was saying teaching. I was saying that I didn't want to become a teacher because my mom was a teacher. I don't know why. This was just young version of me. And so that's why I became a school counselor. And then I got my school counseling job and they told me I had to be a teacher. I had to teach. I had never done it before. They don't train you to teach in school counseling master's programs. So I figured it out though. I found a mentor. I observed other people, like there were teachers in my building. I observed their classes to learn how to be a teacher. Y'all, I'm trying to power through, but I'm feeling like tightness in my chest, but I'm gonna keep going. You're here with me. We're doing this together. Anyway, and then I became a professor and I had to do research. I had never done research either. In fact, I almost did not apply for professor jobs because I did not believe that I could be a professor. I did not think I could do the research part of things, but I figured it out. I would watch YouTube videos breaking down different data analysis. I would read guides. I would talk to mentors. I figured it out. I remember, and so this is where I was saying I coined that term. Then I started mentoring students and they would talk about their own disbelief in their ability to do research. And I realized, well, even now, me as your mentor, as a professor, I don't fully think that I know how to do every kind of research. I don't. But guess what I believe in? My ability to problem solve. I know that I can figure anything out if I put my mind to it and if I truly want to. And when I am doing work that is fulfilling, which I loved being a professor up until the day I quit, I love it. I miss teaching. I believed that I could figure anything out because I love my job. I'm willing to put in the work to figure it out. And even now, going into being a business owner, a big part of this job I'm about to do is marketing and sales. Ain't nobody ever taught me how to be a marketer a day in my life, but I am working with two different business coaches who help me figure it out because I believe that I can figure it out. And so when you are pivoting, that's a lesson that I learned, is that you need to believe in your ability to problem solve and figure things out. Because if you don't believe in your ability to do that, your fear will keep you stuck because your fear will keep telling you you don't have the skills. Your fear will tell you you're not good enough. Your fear will tell you will not be successful. You will fail. But when you believe that you can figure it out, failure is not an option. If you know that this job is a job that you love, that you will thrive in, that you will be happy in, then guess what? Until you are successful, you are on the journey. Like me right now, becoming a business owner, it's not because like my business is wildly, like, you know, I'm making millions of dollars and it's gonna retire me. No, I just truly love it. I'm in a season of life where I need this to be my lifestyle. And I believe that I will figure out everything I need to become successful. And until it is wildly successful, the journey is not over. That's just a fact. That is my reality. I will keep going until it works out because I believe in my ability to problem solve. And so that is the second lesson. The third lesson is that faith will always bring peace while you are pivoting. Faith will always bring peace while you're pivoting. When I think of all my pivots and I look back, I just see the hand of God all over it. Like it is undeniable that God was ordering my steps left, right, and center. When I became a school counselor, I moved to Colorado. First of all, I knew nothing about Colorado, like literally. So you have to think, like, here's my reality, right? I moved from Nigeria to Texas. All I had known was Texas. And Texas is like Nigeria 2.0. It's Nigerians all over Texas. And then I went to Baltimore for my master's degree. Well, guess what? The DMV area is Nigeria 3.0. Nigerians all over the place. So it's like I only knew about a few different states where Nigerians were. Colorado was not on that radar. Like, I'm going to be honest, I was like, Colorado's like a white people state. Like, what am I going to do there? This is how young me was thinking. But when I was in Baltimore is when I met my then boyfriend, now husband, and he lived in Colorado. So it was even just a last minute decision to apply to jobs in Colorado because I met him when I was finishing my master's degree. So Colorado was not on my radar, but it's like, oh, he's there. Sure. Why not? Y'all, I applied to over 50 different jobs. I got called back by one job, like only one job interviewed me. And that was the offer I got. And it was the school in Colorado where my boyfriend was. If that ain't God, if that ain't the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know what is. Okay. I don't. But I then think of going to Missouri to become a professor. One of the reasons why I moved forward with that, again, seriously, like I can't overstate how much I did not believe in myself. Like I did not think I could be a professor. I looked at school counselor supervisor jobs. I looked at career services director jobs because those felt comfortable. I knew for a fact that I could do those jobs with ease. But the call to be a professor wouldn't leave me. And I look back now and I just see how God landed me in a job where I've had so much impact, or I've left now so much impact. And that was a desire that I had in my heart that I never actually voiced. But I moved forward because I just knew, like, okay, the Lord brought me this far. He won't leave me alone. And he showed up and showed out. And even now, pivoting to being a business owner, like, my brain has tried to, in fact, let me tell you a story. So last week, I have a couple of different bank accounts, and one of them overdrafted twice. Now, don't worry about me. I'm fine financially. Like, there's no problem here. But that is the account where my mortgage and my HOA payments come out of. That's really all I use that account for. And I had a direct deposit that used to come from my paycheck going into that account. And it was just the exact amount to cover my mortgage and my HOA with a tiny little bit left. Well, a paycheck did not come in this month because I quit my job. And I overdrafted the first time because a credit card payment went out. So I transferred some money in there, like, okay, I still need money to cover my HOA and my mortgage. So I made a transfer. And then I got another email that I overdrafted yet again. And when I tell you, my body almost, like, I almost started crying to my husband. I was like, I don't have money. I'm broke. What's happening? Which I'm not. But what I'm trying to tell you is that as I'm actively in this pivot, my brain often tries to play tricks on me. How does it do that? Making me worry about money, making me worry about getting clients, making me worry about being successful. And every time that comes up, I just have to go back and I'm like, no, the Lord is with me. The Lord who brought me this far will not leave me. The Lord who came through for me in all my other career seasons, the same God who took me to Colorado where my husband was, the same God who took me to Missouri where I've had impact and did massive great things in my career, is the same God that will be with me now in becoming a business owner. And every time I just recenter on faith and the Lord, I just feel peace. I just feel He's with me. It's all going to be good. And it's not a one and done thing. I have to constantly renew my mind because my mind stays trying to play tricks on me. And so when it comes to pivoting, the lesson is that faith will always bring peace while pivoting, which reminds me of, so like I told you at the beginning of this episode, I've been seeing people talking about, you know, pivots. And I knew that, okay, for Q1, I really want to help other women pivot and talk about it and help more clients and FYFC do this. And I remember one day I was literally in the shower. I was just, I don't even remember what I prayed, but I remember I was telling the Holy Spirit to sort of just help me in how to have these conversations around pivoting and just be in it. And it literally just dropped in my spirit. Pivot. P-I-V-O-T. Pivot is simply peace in veering off your traditional path. Like, the Holy Spirit just gave that to me. It is peace in veering off your traditional path. Now, don't steal that. Don't steal my acronym. You heard it here first. If I see it anywhere else, I'm going to know that it was you that took it. And I'm pointing at my computer screen right now, even though you can't see me. But even that acronym is just grounding that the Lord will be with you if you ask Him to, and if you believe, and He will give you peace even when you're doing the thing that is not traditional. So that's lesson three. Lesson four is that fear and worry are natural responses while pivoting. Don't give in to them, right? And that one just comes out of, I just told you that story of my brain always trying to play tricks on me right now. But even when I was moving to Colorado, I was worried about how I would survive there. When I was becoming a professor, I was worried about not being good enough. Right now, worried about overdrafting. Fear and worry are just emotions. And when you're doing something new, your brain is going to feel those emotions because your brain doesn't have any evidence that you can be successful on this new thing that you're pivoting into. The fear and the worry are natural. Your job is to not give in to them. Your job is to lean on faith. Your job is to remember who your Father is. That's what I do. So don't try to overcome or beat the fear and the worry, because they're going to keep showing up over and over. And fear and worry doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong or terrible. Fear and worry just means that you're doing something new and you need to keep moving forward regardless of the fear and the worry. Lesson number 5 is that you need to learn to filter people's voices. So everyone is not on your side when you're making a pivot, but people's voices have the power or has the power to influence you. What people say to you can really shape the actions that you do or don't take. And the reason why I wrote this lesson down was I was thinking of right now. So like I said, I'm living in Miami. I'm living with my sister and I'm going to be here for at least a year. And then I'm going to make some moves in my life. And I have had multiple people, at least 3 that I'm thinking of right now, say to me, well, why didn't you just stay in your job until next year? And they're not, like, they don't mean harm. Like, they're not saying that to be mean. They just think, like, that would be the logical thing to have done. And yes, I could have done that, but that's just not where I am in this season of life. And candidly, when they said that, it kind of annoyed me. Like, I responded to them, but internally, I felt a little bit annoyed. The first time somebody said it, I thought about, like, oh, maybe I could have stayed, you know, steady paycheck. I could have stayed in my job. But that season of my life is closed. That chapter is closed and it's not where I'm meant to be. And so I had to just remind myself that while I don't like that question, I understand where it's coming from. That would be the logical, stable, safe, air quotes, thing to do. But my move makes sense to me personally. Like, my move makes sense to me. Like, I have known that I would not be a professor for the rest of my life since before I became a professor. Like, I legit used to tell my mentor when I was a PhD that I'm not going to be a professor forever because it's a rat race. I wanted to just do it to prove to myself that I could do it. My goal was to do it for 3 years and peace out. But then I got in, I fell in love with it, and I realized that not enough Black women were tenured. I've been ready to leave my job for 3 years, but I wanted to be tenured. Like, that was a goal. I wanted to prove that I could do it. And so once I hit that goal, like, okay, this season is done. So you need to know why you're making this pivot. You need to be grounded in your why, because people will speak their fears over you. People will speak their doubts over you. And while they might be well-meaning, you can't let their voices shape what you do. So you need to learn to filter people's voices. Lesson number 6 is that clarity doesn't come from reflection. Clarity comes from action. Too many of you hate your job and are sitting at home waiting to feel clear. You're journaling, you're researching, you're talking to people, and you're waiting for your clarity to magically fall on you and say, this is what my next job needs to be. No, you have to take action. Action is what brings clarity. I didn't know that any of my pivots were right until I made the pivots. Right? Like, I didn't know that I would be successful in what I had been doing until I did them. I did not know that I had a passion for teaching until I became a teacher. And so in that same vein, I remember, like, I have so many clients who are unhappy. And initially when they come to work with me, they're waiting. They're like, you know, I'm just trying to find my passion. I've lost my passion. I don't know what my passion is. And I'm like, passion is not a set of keys that you find. Passion is unlocked while you're in action. Waiting to become passionate is a futile effort because it doesn't just fall from the sky. Passion comes out of your interest. Your job is to figure out what you're interested in. Follow those through lines to where you figure out what jobs match your interest. And while you're actively in it, you will find passion. That's what happened to me. That's why in my group coaching program, my Career Clarity and Job Search program, Find Your Fulfilling Career, I help you clarify your values and your interest so that you can make a choice and get into it. And then you will find passion. You have to be actively moving and doing something to figure out what you're passionate about. And so I think that's like a bonus lesson, is clarity doesn't come from reflection. It comes from action. In the same vein, you don't find passion. Passion is unlocked while you are in action, while you are moving. Lesson number 7 is that you don't have to be miserable to pivot. A lot of times, I think when we hear conversations about career change and pivoting, we think that things have to be wrong. We have to hate our jobs. We have to be miserable to pivot. But I was only miserable when I made my first pivot. Every other pivot after that was just because I was in a different season of life. Like, when I pivoted from counseling to professor, it was because I wanted to have more impact in my career. Right now, I'm pivoting from counseling professor. Right now, I'm pivoting from professor to business owner. It's because I'm in a season of life that needs the flexibility of being able to leave Missouri. I didn't, like, if I had my way, I would still be teaching. I actually really love my job. Like, I actually miss being in the classroom. The only pivot that I made because I was miserable was the first one when I was in my data entry job. I did not like that job at all. And I think that when you wait to be miserable to pivot, it's like, I don't want to say it's too late because it's not like it's never too late to pivot, but it's like your mindset is just different. When you're miserable, you're a lot more in your desperate energy than your abundant energy. You might not be thinking as clearly. You're not as confident when you're going through the process. There's a lot more doubt because you've stayed so long in a place that has eroded your self-confidence. And so, again, you need to pivot when you're miserable because you need it for your health and for your wellness. And you don't need to be miserable to make a pivot. You could just be unsettled. You could just want more impact. You could just want something different for the season of life that you're in. You could just want more peace or more money, right? Like, you don't have to be totally miserable. And that's a lesson that I've learned, because when I look back at my pivots, yeah, two of them weren't made because I was miserable. They were just made because I was in a different season of life. And so I wasn't desperate. I wasn't clinging onto any opportunity. I was moving with peace and with confidence, or I am moving with peace and confidence that it would work out. Like, it's just, this is the path that I'm meant to be on. And then lesson number 8 is that you are literally leaving money on the table when you don't ask for more money while you are pivoting. Like, there's no questions about it. When I became a school counselor, like, if I think of both my roles, I increased my offer because I asked for more. When I became a school counselor, I almost got lowballed by $5,000. And that was because they made an offer to me. Mind you, I had never negotiated in my life. Like, I always talk about the school counselor job as it was my first big old job search. And I did that before I became a career counselor, right? So I didn't have all the strategies and expertise that I have now. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't even, looking back, I didn't even have a mentor. Like, I was just doing things on my own. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. So I remember when they made an offer, it was, I don't remember the numbers now. It was so long ago. I think it was like 30, I want to say it was 32K, something like that. And no. It was 30K, and I remember that was lower than what I wanted to make. And so, like, my voice was shaking, but I knew it was, I wanted more money. And so I was like, I remember asking, you know, is there any flexibility in this amount? Can we do anything different? And I remember, because it was the principal who was making the offer. He's like, okay, let me see what I can do. And he came back. Come to find out. They had offered me an amount that was on the teacher's band. So if you don't know how a lot of K-12 schools work, school system, it's like there are different salary bands. And when you get more degrees, you go in a different salary band. So as somebody who was coming in with a master's degree, I should have been in a different salary band than what they had offered me. So if I hadn't asked for more money, I would have gotten paid what people get paid with a bachelor's degree. Meanwhile, I should have been getting more with my master's degree. Imagine if I hadn't asked for more money. They would have played in my face straight up. But anyway, I increased the offer. I didn't get lowballed. And then when I became a professor, again, I negotiated. I remember till today, my supervisor always calls me a shark. She's like, she had never had anybody negotiate like me before. I ended up getting, like, literally, they had to stop at some point because I was getting too, like, I don't even know how to tell the story. So, like, I was negotiating. I was going back and forth. I had made my ask. And they were like, you know what? We can't go any higher for equity reasons, because I was at that point making what people who had been in the same job as me for 7 years, what they were making is what they were offering me. And they were like, we can't offer you more than people who had been doing the job longer than you. At which point I understood, but I increased my salary because I asked for more. And so lesson number 9 is that strategy beats qualification all day, every day. Strategy beats qualification. When I compare my job search And I'm saying this because job searching is a natural part of pivoting, right? When you pivot, unless like me, you know, unless you're about to pivot into being a business owner, which is fine too. But when you're making a professional career pivot, usually you're going into a different field, a different industry, a different job, right? So job searching is part of it. When I look at my first job search and my second job search, they were drastically different. And I'm saying that because the other changes that I made were, so when I was a mental health counselor, career counselor, I did those mostly through referrals, through relationships. So I wasn't doing the traditional looking online type job search, like how I'm talking about it. My first job, I told you this already, right? Applied for 50 jobs, got one offer, trash. I mean, I thank God it was a great job, but the process of job searching itself was trash, like laying in bed at 2 a.m. scrolling LinkedIn. My second job search, I applied for 10 jobs. I got 6 interviews of the 10. And the only reason I stopped getting offers was because I accepted an offer, like the Missouri offer. Once I got it, I accepted that offer because it was like a perfect job for me. I turned down an offer with nothing else lined up in that job search too. What was different? My strategy. At that point, I had been a career counselor, so I knew how to network, how to build conversations, how to market myself, how to position myself, how to interview. I knew what I was doing. Both times I was qualified, but the experiences were drastically different because for one of those, I had better strategy than the other. You need the right strategy to have a successful pivot. And then lesson number 10 is settling should never be your default. Don't settle in your career. Don't settle for good enough. Don't settle for just okay. And I'm saying this with the thought in my head of, I don't like using the word should. Like in my group coaching program, Find Your Fulfilling Career, one of the first things I teach is don't should yourself, because should is always external expectations. But this is the one time that I will say this, because I did not settle. Or honestly, really, I should say God did not let me settle. Right? The first time I failed the MCAT, so I had to pivot. Then I didn't get my work visa, so I had to pivot. Then I was forced into a different life season, so I had to pivot. But either way, I could have tried to force it. I could have tried to find different jobs on the same path, but I didn't. And it paid off. It's been paying off so far, at least, which gives me faith that it will pay off now. Don't settle. Over your lifetime, you will spend 90,000 hours at work. 90,000. It does not make sense for you to be miserable for that much of your life. It doesn't. It really doesn't. For you to be miserable for 90,000 hours, for most of your waking hours, that's not normal. That's not the life that we're called to. Don't settle for just okay. Don't settle for just a good paycheck. Make the pivot. Make the pivot. You're worth it. You are worth betting on yourself. Now, don't do it alone. I did not do any of my pivots except the first one alone. I've always had mentors. Right now, I'm working with coaches, which is why I offer the support that I do, because I know that you haven't been taught some of these strategies that I have learned over time. And that's what I help clients do in Find Your Fulfilling Career, is helping you pivot. So those are my lessons from my six-figure career pivot. If you know that 2026 is your year to finally thrive in your career and be happy and be successful and make more money, then you should definitely check out my upcoming free training, Pivot to a New Industry. I'm going to be breaking down how to secure a job in a new field in 16 weeks without any certificate, without a degree, and without experience. And immediately after the training, doors to my Career Clarity and Job Search Coaching Program, Find Your Fulfilling Career, will open. I'm going to open up the doors for the first time in like 10 months or something like that. And I'm so excited because this round of enrollment, I am doing 3 bonuses that I've never done before. So register for the training, because you have to be registered to get those bonuses. And when you register for the training, you'll get all the details in email. I email details about the training, details about the bonuses, all of that. I'm going to email you. So go to hercareerdoctor.com herdoctor.com/pivot. Again, hercareerdoctor.com/pivot to register for the training, to learn all about FYFC, to join us. I can't wait. I hope you found this episode helpful. I hope that you found my lessons and my stories helpful. Thank you for being here with me. Thank you for holding space when my chest got tight earlier. Thank you. And I will catch you on the next episode. All right, let's talk about Find Your Fulfilling Career, or FYFC. If you're new here, FYFC is my 12-month career clarity and job search coaching program. It is designed for women who are stuck in draining, unfulfilling jobs and ready to pivot into work that actually excites them without starting over and without applying to hundreds of jobs. Inside this program, you will get crystal clear on your next career move using my visa framework, learn how to market yourself into a new role or industry, and land a higher paying job that aligns with your values and your life. My clients consistently increase their salaries by $25,000, $55,000, even $135,000. They rediscover who they are, their skills, land jobs they actually thrive in, and finally have the work-life balance they've been craving. Now, here's what makes this round of enrollment different. This is the only time in 2026 that I am offering 3 fast action launch bonuses. If you enroll in FYFC during the 48-hour bonus window, you will get a one-on-one 90-minute career pivot call with me, where we're going to pick your target role, analyze a real job posting, and map out your exact transferable skills together. A done-for-you career pivot resume. I will personally write your new resume that positions you perfectly for your target industry, and a personalized interview question bank, which includes 10 custom questions with responses based on my proven frameworks to help you ace your pivot interview. These bonuses are not available at any other time and will speed up your pivot timeline by 2 months. So if you're ready to stop feeling stuck and start thriving in a career that actually fits who you are, go to findyourfulfillingcareer.com and register for the free live launch training, where I'll teach you my 3 proven strategies for successful career pivots and walk you through exactly how the program works. You have to be registered for the free training to qualify for the bonuses. Again, that URL is findyourfulfillingcareer.com. I can't wait to see you there.